My name is Garland Robinson, and the subject is water baptism.
Water baptism is one of the most prominent doctrines of all the Bible. It's spoken of a number of times. We have commands about it. We have examples of it. We have things that are implied concerning it. But yet at the same time, it's one of the most despised and rejected doctrines of all the Bible. For centuries, men have spent their time and talents seeking to get around it, to explain it away, to dismiss it, contradict it, reject it, but yet it still remains the same. For the Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16 and verse 16. There are a number of purposes for baptism, not just one. Somebody says, well, the purpose of baptism is to show the world that you've already been saved. Well, there are many purposes of baptism, but that's not one of them. It's not in the Bible. We read in the Bible that the purpose of baptism is to obey the Lord, not to show anybody anything, but it's to obey the Lord, to be united with Christ. In baptism, that's how one becomes a Christian. That's how one puts on Christ, by being baptized into Him, Romans 6 and verse 3. Matter of fact, the Bible says that's how one becomes a child of God. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again, born of water and of the Spirit," that new birth was one act, yet consisted of two elements, water and Spirit. When we learn through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Bible, the Scripture, we learn what we are to do to be saved. We learn that Jesus died for us, was buried in the tomb and raised again the third day for our justification. And when we repent of our sins, confess faith in Christ, and are buried with Him in baptism to be baptized into His death, we can be raised up to walk a newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. That makes us a child of God. Children of God, Christians, are not baptized. One is baptized in order to become a child of God, in order to become a Christian. Baptism is for the purpose of making one a new person, a new creature. When one is born again, it necessarily follows that he is a new creature, a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, notice how significant this passage is. It talks about the fact of those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ are new creatures. The old things, they're all gone now. The new things are here. Well, the old things is the old man of sin, the old way of life, the old awkward way of the world. The new things is new life in Christ, forgiveness of sins. We are new, refreshed all over. We are baptized into Christ. When we're baptized into His death, when He was buried, we are buried in water. He was raised up from the tomb, we are raised up out of the water. The old man is crucified with Him in order that the body of sin, our old sin, might be destroyed. Romans 6 and verse 6. And when we're raised up out of the water, we're a new creature, a new creation. And that's what He says here. When we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, the only way to be in Christ is to be baptized into Him. Do you know there are only two verses in all the Bible that tell us how to get into Christ? And you know, both of them say we're baptized into Christ. There's no verse that says we believe into Christ. No verse says we repent into Christ. No verse that says we confess into Christ. But two verses say that we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ." And the other one is Galatians 3 and verse 27, where we read, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Friend, water baptism begins our new life in the Lord, that we've never experienced anything like that before. Now we're a new creature or a new person, a new creation. That new creature, new person, new creation demands and requires a new lifestyle. We live differently being in Christ than we did when we were in the world, or in the old way, we would say, with Satan. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, we now walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We read in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Now, how is it that one is risen with Christ? To be raised with Christ is to be baptized when we're raised up out of the water. That's what Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. We're risen with Christ. And when we've been raised with Christ, we walk a new life. Romans 6 and verse 4. When we've been raised with Christ, Colossians 3, 1 says, we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In verse 8 of Colossians 3, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Now, all of those things come about after we have been risen with Christ, after we've been baptized. They don't come before baptism. There's no way in which we can live and walk in these things before we're baptized, because we're not qualified to be that way. We're not accepted in God's sight. We can't, in living the old way of life. It's only when we've been raised with Christ that we seek those things which are above. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." All right, so we're baptized in order to become a new creature, that we might live the new way, the way the Lord would have us to live. We're also baptized in order to be saved. In order to be saved from sin, in order to be forgiven of sin, that's why we're baptized. Mark 16, verse 16 makes it so plain that one needs help to misunderstand it. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You ask any first grader what the Lord said to do in that verse in order to be saved, and their response will always be, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." To say anything else is to deny the Lord's word. How in the world can Jesus say, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved," but yet denominational speakers and preachers and others today say, "No, that's not right. He that believeth is saved and then is baptized." But that's not what Jesus said. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The apostles understood that. They were infallible in those matters because they were being directed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He taught them what to say and how to say it. They not only preached baptism in order to have forgiveness of sins, such as they did in Acts 2 and verse 38, but they practiced it as well. Those who believed what they preached were baptized. They were forgiven of their sins. They began to live and walk a new way of life. And the whole New Testament is complete like that. And we read that every time one obeyed the gospel, they were in compliance with the will of God. They did exactly that which was done on the day of Pentecost, and they were baptized in order to wash away their sins. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 we read, Saul of Tarsus was taught by Ananias in Damascus, and he was told, "Be baptized and wash away thy sins." Baptism washes sins away. But if you're saved before you're baptized, then you don't have any sins to wash away. Well, we know it's not the water of baptism. It's the blood of Christ that forgives sins. Revelation 1 and verse 5. It washes us, cleanses us from our sins in His own blood. And we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. But how do we contact that blood? When does that blood wash our sins away? The same way it did Saul's. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. We read that is so clear and plain, such as in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Notice that phrase, baptism doth also now save us. The context that's being discussed here is the flood back in Noah's day. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight people all together, were told to get in the ark, and they were saved from the flood. And the Bible says that the waters of the flood held that ark above the destruction and death, kept them safe, and therefore they were saved by water. And he says the like figure, 1 Peter 3:21, that even baptism now saves us. And he says it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is it that forgives our sins? Well, it's the blood of Christ. But when does the blood do it? It's when we're baptized, for there's where we contact the blood. There's where the blood is applied on our behalf to wash away our sins. No wonder the Bible says, baptism now saves us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. We don't read that in connection with repentance, yet repentance is essential to be saved. Baptism is nothing without one repenting of their sins. We don't read salvation from sins upon confession of faith in Christ. Yet confession is essential. Baptism is nothing without one confessing the sweet name of Jesus. Baptism is nothing without one believing with all their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yet all of those steps are involved and completed in water baptism. It's like the combination of a lock. If there's a 3 combination, a 4 or 5 number combination, all those parts have to be filled in. All the numbers have to be logged in order for that lock to open. And Jesus says that we must believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in order to become a child of God.
This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.